Hey guys, Eric G from Around the House. Tired of juggling brooms and blowers for cleanup? Meet the Aero Broom, a two-in-one sweeper and cordless leaf blower that works inside and outside your home, all for under $60. This lightweight tool clears dust and debris in half the time, leaving your floors or patio spotless. I've tested it. Trust me, it's a game changer. Visit aerobroom.com now and grab yours. That's AEROBroom.com. Sweep smart.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G., your go-to source for everything home improvement. Whether you're a DIY enthusiast or just looking to make your space shine, Eric G. is here to guide you through the latest tips, tricks, and trends. Coming up in this week's second hour of the show, Eric G. explores the things you should be thinking about if you are going to be selling your home in 2025. It could be the new rules for realtors to paying attention to what buyers are looking for so you can get the most out of your home.
There are a lot of new rules right now. Let's talk about the new rules for real estate agents out there, because there was a big lawsuit here that happened and got settled last year. And so what happened is, you know, you would have your realtor that you were selling the house through.
So grab your toolbox, put on your thinking cap, and let's get to work right here on Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to the Around the House Show, the next generation of home improvement. I'm Eric G. Thanks for joining me today. This hour is brought to you by my friends at Monument Grills. If you're looking for that brand new barbecue with Father's Day right around the corner, check them out at monumentgrills.com. And that new Omni Pro Eminescence series is a killer barbecue. You got to check it out there at monumentgrills.com. If you're looking for that present coming up for dear old dad, this is going to be a game changer for you and your next barbecue game. Check them out at monumentgrills.com today. Let's talk about things to consider when selling your home in 2025. Now, as everybody's been, if you've been listening to the podcast version, I've been talking about a little bit in the midweek special, but I'm putting my house up for sale this year. Been out looking for the next project. Hopefully get my house up for sale this year here in Lake Oswego, Oregon in the next couple months. Trying to get those projects wrapped up, everything from 80% to 100% to get my best foot forward. But I tell you what, this kind of subject brought up, I was out looking at homes this last week, and I tell you what, rarely in my 35 years have I walked into a home that was a head scratcher on how to fix it. And nothing wrong with this, but I do love ones that make me think outside of the box. And unfortunately, when I see a house like this that I walk into, I go, wow, okay, how do you fix this and make this relevant and a good business decision, let alone a place to live? So let me set the stage on this story for you before we get into the whole stuff, because this does relate into what we're talking about. So this is a house over here in outside of Portland. I'm not going to give it a location because I'm not here to bash on someone's home. But this was absolutely crazy. So this home, built in the 70s, view piece of property. So you really have a great view. There's a pool with it. Really a cool place. However, it is about six different levels, 1970s masterpiece. And from the outside, it looks funky. It looks like a party house in a way. Looks like maybe it was designed a little bit like what I would say, oh, Hugh Hefner's 1970 estate, Northern Portland, a little bit with some 70s vibe. But here's where it got weird. And there's all these different levels, which I get. It's on a hill. It looks like it's three stories from the street, but it's about six levels. Now, where it got weird is there's this big living room. And on top of this is where it got strange. When you sit there and walk into the living room, there's a loft above with the master bedroom suite. And yes, I call it master. It's not the primary. It's the master bedroom from where I come from. And you walk into it. It's open to the living room below. Just a wood railing. Okay. Not a lot of privacy. But this is where it got strange. Now, when you walk into this place, that there's an 8-foot run or so of cabinetry in the master bedroom. It's the vanity. So it's like an old hotel room where you got the vanity in the room. That's not the weird part. So if you are laying down in bed, from that perspective, you've got a fireplace ahead of you. To the right, you got this beautiful view of Mount Hood and the Cascade Mountains into the valley. Looks beautiful. And then to your left is that vanity. You walk into the toilet room, which is in the left far corner, to paint that picture for you. There's a little tile circular staircase that goes up 90 degrees to the left, about 6 feet up. That's where the master shower is. And there's a shower door that is floating in the middle of this wall, about 8 feet up to the bottom of the shower door, that you could open the shower door up and look at the view, look down into the master bedroom, and look down into the living room, what's left of that because of the loft, and the view of the neighborhood and the mountains. I get it. But talk about how do you fix that? I don't want to walk out of my shower in the morning while I'm half awake, or even worse, walking up into it and have to walk up tile stairs. That to me, with a wet floor, is a disaster. But it really brings me to things to talk about. Now, when I first walked into the home, you could tell that some basics weren't done, like basic cleanliness. And I get you've got elderly homeowners. This family has a lot going on. You've got elderly homeowners. You've got all this different stuff. But the perspective when you walk up, there were water bottles with cigarettes in them on the tables where somebody had been smoking out on the front porch. There was nothing clean nor good smelling about it. Some of the things that you see on these kind of projects, I walked into this thing going, wow, for $580,000 on a double lot, you have got so much to do. That house would have to go down to the studs. You would have to reframe up that bedroom to either create more space or figure out a way to put in the master bathroom back into its own place, not in the middle of the bedroom. So there's a lot of weird things like that. This was almost a Winchester House feel. If you've ever been to the Winchester House down in California, almost a Winchester House feel walking through it. It was absolutely fascinating. There were some cool things. There were some broken up things. You walk in the front door and there are all these weird staircases going off at angles just because of how it lined up. And what's weird is you walked into the foyer from the front of the house. There was this big arch that led to nowhere, to a storage room, little tiny bathroom. It was just a really wild thing. Bedrooms were small, like 10 by 11, that kind of thing. But there's a 20 by 20 living room that's the size of a double car garage. But then you see what the master, or what they call the primary bedroom, is. There was a lot to work with on this. And I tell you what, lots of decks, lots of cool things, but whoo, lots of stories as well. So it was one of those homes that didn't make financial sense, because I looked at it and went, okay, by the time you finish this house up, let's say you bought it for $500,000 and they took $80,000 off of it. By the time you went in there, got it taken care of, got it cleaned up, got it down to the studs, fixed some of the inherent issues with the location in the neighborhood it's in, even with the view property, there is no way this property makes sense. But they also built this in a hillside. So if you were going to tear it down and take what was the two tax lots for the price of that, you were going to have an exorbitant amount of money of cleanup in building what would be expensive homes in a neighborhood. Now, if I was selling this house, I would have gone through and fixed some of those things, cleaned it up, the deck. You would have spent to have a composite deck built on this, because there's a pool, there's all this other stuff. It's a $250,000 to $350,000 custom composite deck to do this, because there's all these different levels of deck. So you can see sometimes the math doesn't work out. So really, this $580,000 house, to make financial sense for somebody, is going to be a $400,000 house to get even close. And it's going to be a labor of love, not a business decision. So you can see where these things start to get tough as you as a seller. So when we come back here, we're going to talk about some of these situations so you can keep yourself out of this, so you can make great decisions moving forward. We'll do that just as soon as Around the House returns. Don't go anywhere.
To find out more information, head to AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Don't change that dial. Around the House will be right back after these important messages.
Hey, it's Eric G from the Around the House show. Elevate your grilling game with the all-new Monty McGrill's Omni Pro Series. The Eminescence 405 is packed with cutting-edge features, blending elegance with expert-level performance. Four powerful burners plus a side-searing station deliver 60,000 BTUs of precision heat. The Clearview lid lets you keep an eye on your masterpiece without losing heat. Stand control with the smart Bluetooth app, track your temps, set timers, and get alerts from anywhere. The LED touch panel ensures effortless monitoring even in bright daylight. Temperature sensing lights keep you grilling anytime, anywhere. This grill is built to last, and it's also backed by a 10-year limited warranty. The Eminescence 405, where power, style, and innovation meet. Check it out and order your new grill at MontyMcGrills.com. That's MontyMcGrills.com. Are you ready for a deep dive into the future of home building? Hey, it's Eric G from Around the House. We sit down with Champion Homes to tackle some of the biggest challenges in housing today. From affordability to healthier living spaces, they reveal how factory-built homes are revolutionizing the way we live. Find out how Champion Homes is making homeownership more accessible and solving housing problems one home at a time. Don't miss this must-listen episode. Tune in to your favorite podcast app or visit AroundTheHouseOnline.com. To find out more about how Champion Homes is changing housing, visit them at championhomes.com.
Check out episode 1946 on your favorite podcast player.
What's up? This is Sticks at Inya.
And Satchel from Steel Panther. And you are listening to
Around the House with Eric G.
Yeah.
We love Eric G, and you should too.
1987. I never wanna leave. Welcome back to the Around the House show, the next generation of home improvement. I'm Eric G. Thanks for joining me today. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Monty McGrills. Check them out at MontyMcGrills.com. And if you are a business out there looking to advertise, looking to show your latest products out there, and especially if you're made in USA, I would love to talk to you here. Head over to AroundTheHouseOnline.com, and we can help you out with your business and making sure that you get out to the smartest audience in the world. Today, we've been talking about things to consider when selling your home in 2025. In the last segment here, if you're joining us on the radio, on the Talk Media Network all across the United States, thanks for joining us on the radio. We've been talking about, you know, this crazy house that I went and looked at last week that I ended up passing on, but it was just a reminder of the mistakes that can happen when listing a home. And some of the things that I wanted to talk about today are things that you can prevent from happening before you even go buy it. Now, there are a lot of new rules right now. Let's talk about the new rules for real estate agents out there, because there was a big lawsuit here that happened and got settled last year. And so what happened is, you know, you would have your realtor that you were selling the house through. The buyer would roll through with their favorite real estate professional or whoever, and the prices were fixed. You would see what the buyer's, what the seller's price was, what they were going to have for their agent, what the fees were. And it was that way where you would see that. That's all changed. So if the seller listed their home with an agent and the buyer toured homes with their own agent, when the sale closed, they pretty much shared a commission of, let's say, 5 to 6% for the sake of argument, paid by the seller. So for the medium priced home, that was $21,000, $24,000 on average across the U.S. that was shared. So what they've done is they've changed that now. So this settlement made two big changes to this. Sellers are no longer allowed to make promises of compensation to buyer's agents on the database of homes, which is the MLS, which is the multiple listing service. Buyers using an agent must also have a representation agreement in place detailing compensation before they tour homes. So you have to sign paperwork with an agent saying, hey, this is my rep, before you go look at homes. That makes sense to me. That way, everybody's on the same page before you go do that. So those changes were designed to make agents' fees more transparent and negotiable. So under the old system, what you would see was the sellers would typically share the commission they're willing to pay a buyer's agent in their MLS listings, sparking a concern that the agents would steer their clients away from listings that offered lower rates. 5-6% has been the average here in the U.S. forever. Globally, it could be 1-3%. So it tells you where things are. But I will say that there's a lot of things that agents do here as well. And that value is there, in my opinion. Now, there are things that happen outside of the MLS, but really, those commissions are always negotiable. I'll be honest, I think if you're expecting a level of service, you go in and have that conversation with them. But I tell you what, if you look at the time, and this is a great example, and this is happening here in my area in Portland, Oregon, it might be happening in your area. There is a shortage of homes around the median housing price here. And so I know of someone out there, they're at their 10th home putting offers in. And the problem is because there's a housing shortage in that price point, I think she's at number 10 on the homes. And some of these homes have been $75,000, $80,000 over asking price. And she was probably number 8, 9, or 10 in the process of offers in. So the problem that we see with that situation is it's really favoring the cash buyer, because if you're coming in at $80,000 over asking price, you might not get an appraisal that will go in your favor. So you might end up having to pay extra out of pocket to cover that. So you're not going to go in with your 20% and get the full loan. You might have to come in at 25 or 30%. So that is something that is not great for first-time home buyers or people that you got to have some cash to play in the game, because the loan is only going to cover so much. The bank is not going to be willing to go upside down for you. So that's a big one right there. So I tell you what, it's getting interesting out there. This really didn't change much other than made a few little changes here for the real estate agents out there, for those realtors. Now, what's also interesting is depending on which state you're in, transactions are handled differently. Like in my area in the Pacific Northwest, generally speaking, you go out, the process goes, you go out there, and you go take a look at the house. You put your offer in if you want it. Your agent, after you've signed with them, looked at houses, puts the offer in. You go through that process. There's an inspection period many times that you have so many days to have your own inspections, including the one for the bank. You might have to, if you've got cracks in the foundation or you've got mold, you can have those experts come in. And then you have a right of refusal in there that you can offer in to say, hey, I want X, Y, and Z fixed before we do this transaction. Where it gets different is when you get into this. Sometimes, like in my area here, you have to have a radon test done. You have to have a sewer scope done. These are requirements that are part of the transaction. Now, when you go to close, all the paperwork's done through your agent and their paperwork. And then you go to the, basically, you go in to the escrow company, you're working with them, and basically, you have an independent person that is closing that deal for you. So you go into the title company, they will go through, get all the paperwork, get you your keys. That transaction's usually done there. Now, in other states, especially on the East Coast, you don't do that as much. It's handled by a real estate attorney, which to me is really foreign. But there's lots of different ways for this stuff to transpire depending where you're located. So it's something to think about with that. And of course, you've got all those different things that can go sideways within that project of buying a house. Banks, You've got all these different hidden things that could be happening. There's disclosures. So there's a lot of different things that go on through that process. Now, where are house values at? They're growing or shrinking depending on where you're at in the U.S. Ours in my neighborhood are slowly growing. I can go up in areas of Seattle where I just saw that some places are down 15 or 20% in some cities. So it's really depending on what's going on in your neighborhood. How is crime? Crime can be a big one because families are moving out. If crime is high and the city isn't managing their crime issues, homelessness, that can run people out. Depending on if they were a huge culture of people that traveled into the area to be working remotely and all of a sudden those remote jobs have dried up and people are back in the office. So those are big things. Those are big things to consider. And that could be a good opportunity for you to buy a house there. We'll dive more into things to consider when selling your home in 2025 just as soon as we return. Don't change that dial.
To find out more information, head to AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Don't change that dial. Around the House will be right back after these important messages.
Attention, Around the House fans. We've got some exciting news. Our website just got a major upgrade thanks to the pros at SiteHypeDesigns.com. Now, it's easier than ever to catch up on episodes, find expert home improvement tips, and connect with us. Head over to AroundTheHouseOnline.com and check out the fresh new look. It's your ultimate home for everything around the house. AroundTheHouseOnline.com, built for homeowners, designed for you.
If I could dream. Is your website losing you money instead of making it? Slow load times, outdated design, or a clunky mobile experience could be driving those customers away. At SiteHypeDesigns.com, we turn bad websites into high-performing, customer-winning machines. Our expert designers create sleek, fast, and SEO-optimized sites that don't just look good, they convert visitors into paying customers. Don't let a weak website hold you back. Visit SiteHypeDesigns.com today for a free website audit and discover how we can take your business to the next level. SiteHypeDesigns.com. Websites that work as hard as you do.
For our Around the House listeners, use promo code Eric G for a free website audit and a free half-hour consultation call.
Hey, this is Ron Keel, the metal cowboy from Keel, the Ron Keel Band and Steeler. We are rocking Around the House with Eric G. Raise your
fist! Welcome back to the Around the House show, the next generation of home improvement. I'm Eric G. Thanks for joining me today. If you want to find out more about us here at the show, head over to AroundTheHouseOnline.com and you can find out more information here. And while you're over there, make sure you sign up for all of our social media and, of course, all of our different YouTube channels and things like that. We've got so many videos up for you to take a look at, including my television show Around the House Northwest. Lots going on over there. We've got 650 plus videos, lots of great stuff, and lots of great homes and little places for you to find those crazy little things you're trying to find for your home. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Monty McGrills. Check them out at MontyMcGrills.com. So when it comes to the housing market in the U.S., we talked about this a few weeks ago, but we're not going to see any kind of a crash out there. Now, it seems that our inflation is slowing. Now, the one thing is when we start to see what housing numbers are and where housing prices go, that takes months to show up in the government reports. So the stuff that came out this last week showed that there wasn't a huge hike in that. The problem that I see is that interest rates seem to be high for right now compared to where we've been. Would I like to see them lower? Yes, because housing's going to take off. But they use the interest rates, of course, to control how much inflation is going. So we raise the interest rates to cool the economy so we can get things slowed down so we don't have any kind of a crash like in the 1929s. So we didn't have that big crash. I get it. But right now, it's really put a crimp on housing. And building materials are dumb expensive out there. Sheetrock, OSB, insulation, all those things, way higher. I went to go buy a bundle of insulation for this shed project I'm working on right now. $120. That should have been $60 a few years ago. So things have really gone up out there. And unfortunately, when I see that, that elevates housing prices. So building material costs, regulation, labor costs all rise to houses getting more expensive. Well, when housing is more expensive on the new stuff, the used stuff out there, the remodel homes, those rise as well. So that's where we see those double-digit price increases in neighborhoods that people want to move to. So that's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because that does really kind of raise the water for all housing. When a brand new house is at number X, number Y, which, or letter Y, which is the housing prices of the existing inventory out there, that automatically raises because there's more of a demand for that. So that's what we see. Now, the other thing is I want to talk about the things in your home that you might want to fix up if you're thinking about putting your house on the market. Now, the obvious thing that I'm going to tell you first to do, and we talked about a little bit in the first segment here of this hour, clean it up. Get your house smelling and looking clean. When someone walks in, you want it to be fresh. And I'm not talking about covering things up with horrible smelling, basically air fresheners. That could hurt you because someone comes in and goes, oh, what are you trying to hide? You want your house to smell fresh and clean. If there were smokers in there, you need to dial that in and get it cleaned up and fixed. If you had a mold issue or you've got pets, eliminate those smells. If you've got to go move into an apartment and get your pets out of there so they don't smell like pets, or you have to have a house cleaner come in every 3 or 4 days, you do it. Because people coming in will smell that. I came in and it had 1970s carpet in that house. You could see all the stains. You could just tell the unhealthy air in this place, which leads me to believe that there's going to be many more problems. So if you walk in, everything's well painted, everything smells spick and span, it's clean, there's no clutter. This is going to be the easiest and most important thing you do to your home. Now, if you have inherent issues on maintenance, you've got to get those knocked out. If you need to have a new electrical panel put in, have it done. If your HVAC is broken, knock it out. If you've got a roof system that's failing, fix her up. You see where I'm going. Get those things dialed in. But the big stuff here that you need to think about is, what can I do to help? And a lot of times, that's going to be curb appeal. Curb appeal is one of the easiest things you can do to get that house dialed in and looking amazing. Maybe it's re-landscaping up front. Maybe it's that new garage door that doesn't look like the wood one from 1974. Maybe it's getting rid of that old beat up front door system with the bad screen door. You want people, when they pull up out front with their real estate professional, to look and go, wow, that's cool. Let's go take a look. Versus them pulling up, seeing a sagging garage door, trash in the front yard, a checked, nasty looking front door, and people go, this looks like too much of a project for me. Next. Having that dialed in from the curb is your first impression for those people out there that are potentially looking at it. Now, this is for all the real estate professionals out there, as someone that has been looking at it. So many times you'll see the pictures up on the MLS listing service. You'll see the pictures out there. Oh, this beautiful first picture. And the second picture sucks. It's some weird baby blue bathroom that's tiny. I don't care. I'll see it when I get there, but show me the best foot forward. If you've got a picture of the front, show me a picture in the back. Show me the kitchen if it's new. Plan those pictures out that go up on the website or the MLS so you can see what's happening. I see a lot of homes. I see a brand new home on the market each and every week for my television show. So I see a lot of homes. And the secret is making it look good, depersonalizing it, and making it smell good when you get inside. And cleaning is a big one, like we talked about. But making it look like it's not a project unless you're trying to sell it as a project, that's a key right there. Now, any of those things like that come up as issues can kill a sale. I see foundation issues, cracks, leaky basements. I see roofs that need to be put on. I see asbestos in the building, bad electrical, bad HVAC, or even worse, lack of maintenance for 20 years. People that didn't take care of, and this happens a lot with like elderly fixed income people. Their house was dialed in, the kids weren't helping out much, or family members, or they didn't have the money to really invest in keeping it up to date, or even worse, hoarders. If you want to bring down the value of a house in a neighborhood, have a hoarding house there, or someone technically with a hoarding disorder, because it is a mental health issue. If you've got that, or you're working on one to get it, that has to be dialed in. And I've seen so many homes up on that they've tried to clean up, but you can tell that they, oh my gosh, it probably looks 10 times better than when they started. But you don't see that when you roll up. You just see weird boxes of stuff, and you can tell that something bad has happened in that house because you can smell the dirt. So again, stuff you got to consider when you get in there. So make sure that all those little issues you have that could be something that kills the sale. And that's why I always recommend, if you are putting your house up for sale, to get a pre-listing inspection. So pay an inspector to come in and go through the house, because someone's going to probably do that, unless you do an as-is type sale where you don't try to disclose things. You need to make sure and get that dialed in. So get her fixed up, get those things knocked out so you're not surprised, because you're going to pay more to fix it. And this is what happens all the time. Let's say your house that you're thinking about right now is going up for sale. You list it up and you knew that there might be some foundation issues. You can pay twice as much to get that fixed in a hurry. That's coming out of your pocket, your profits, your sale. We'll talk about that when we return. Don't change that dial. Around the House will be right back for the last segment of this hour. We'll see you in a minute.
To find out more information, head to AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Don't change that dial. Around the House will be right back after these important messages.
Hey guys, it's Eric G from Around the House Show. We'd really appreciate your help with some awesome 5-star reviews on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you tune into your podcast. Big thanks, everyone, and a shout out to our dedicated listeners of Around the House. Hey guys, it's Eric G, and I have a special offer for you. Do you want to get the podcast a couple days early? How about extended content that isn't in the typical podcast? Maybe you want to check out all the back episodes of the show. And I got a special deal for the first 10 days are free. I want to personally invite you to be an Around the House insider. For about $4 a month, you can get exclusive extended episodes, early access to the weekend show, and exclusive access to me, Eric G, for project questions or comments. Check on the link on your podcast player in the show notes, or head to AroundTheHouseOnline.com and look for the Join Here button. Make sure and sign up today. As always, thanks for tuning in to Around the House. Welcome back to the Around the House Show, the next generation of home improvement. I'm Eric G. Thanks for joining me today. We've been talking about getting your house ready for sale, all the different things that, you know, you can do out there to really get your house ready and get the most out of it. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Monty McGrills. Check them out at MontyMcGrills.com. So we've been talking about the different things that affect it, things to think about, some of the houses I've looked at, and the mistakes they made when listing it up there. Now, one of the ones that I always talk about are, what are the homes that are hard to sell? Sometimes those homes that are hard to sell are the ones that are the most expensive for their price point that someone might have a hard time getting a loan on. Great example. You got the big house, the biggest house in the neighborhood, or the most unique house in the neighborhood on a smaller lot. So what happens is if it's a unique enough house and there's no comps out there, so there's nothing to compare it to for, shall we say, oh, just basically comparing it. So a appraiser comes in and goes, wow, there's not a lot to compare this to. That can hurt you on the sale. Now, there's also weird stuff that happens regionally. Like in the East Coast, many places don't count basement livable square footage as part of the primary square footage of the house. We're out here on the West Coast. If I have a California split level home where I walk up to the house, walk up to the front door a couple steps, and I walk into the front door, I can either go down or up. You're in the middle between the two floors. Now, upstairs, you'll traditionally have a kitchen, dining room, living room, and maybe three bedrooms. Downstairs, you'll have a bedroom or two and a game room or a big family room, a bathroom, laundry room usually. That's how those were laid out. But on the West Coast, that's all considered part of the square footage. That same house on the East Coast, they might not call that part of the primary square footage. And so there's a lot of different rules out there, but you need to keep that into account. If you're living on the West Coast and you move out East, that could be a completely different business decision. If they're sitting there saying, hey, this house is 2,800 square feet versus 1,800 square feet, different comps, different rules, different everything. So think about that. The other thing is if you've got bedrooms in a basement, you better have an egress window, which means that's the space if there was a house fire or an emergency that they could get out a secondary way out of that basement. So usually that means a window well and a large opening window that a firefighter can pop in or you can escape out of. Firefighters usually wearing a Scott air pack or one of the air packs, so there has to be a large window that they can get into to rescue. So if you've got a bedroom down below grade, you better have that egress window in there to sell it. Otherwise, they probably won't count that. Now, having a closet is a big deal. That's an interesting one. So making sure you have a closet so you can count it as a bedroom. Funny story, over in the Tri-Cities in Eastern Washington, there's a whole group of homes over there that were built by the U.S. government. And it was under the Hanford contract out there. So General Electric came in and built all these ranch houses for government workers, military personnel that were living, working on the Hanford nuclear reservation. Well, they have all these alphabet houses where it was a planet, an A house, a B house, a whatever. These ranch houses were built. Younger architect is the story I was told. And flying back from Eastern Washington, what would have been out in the middle of nowhere, to the East Coast, he realized that the houses they were building, he forgot to put closets in. So they had these little plywood closets. Now, the issue is if you've got one of those original homes, sometimes those inspectors really have a problem when you're in a house and there is literally no closet space. Now, people have added closets over the years. That's what I did when I owned one of these homes. But many original ones didn't have it. So sometimes mistakes that happen in history, that can be an issue. So those houses were built stout. They just forgot closets. That can come up in those things. So fixing all those things are important to make life a little bit easier. Homes that are hard to sell, style-wise, mid-century is always king. So the more you can embrace that, and it's depending on your area as well. Sometimes you've got somebody that built the Pablo Escobar 1980s contemporary home with the glass block that you're going to have a hard time finding someone. But if you go try to renovate that into a more contemporary home, you could have hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to take that and change it into a different style. Now, good news is that 80s style is coming back. That Miami Vice look, that is coming back into style. So be careful. If you go spend $100,000 to take that style away, you could be hurting yourself down the road if you're waiting a few years. I think that is really coming back. Are we going to see new houses built that way? No, but I think you're going to see some of those style points coming back in. It is the next one. And if you watch this, you saw the 50s mid-century come back. Went to the 60s mid-century. Now we're into the 70s mid-century. The Rock and the avocado greens are back, all that stuff, colors back. So naturally, I think our 80s stuff will be coming back. So maybe getting that Ferrari 308 you saw Tom Selleck cruising around in the 80s, that might be your next hot car to match that house. But this could be a lot of fun with these. So don't just blow up the style. Pay attention. That could be the next hottest house out there. So we'll take a look. So here's the thing to look at as well. And this is if you're thinking about selling your house and you want to upgrade your house. Right now, take a look and see what you can buy to fit your house. If you're going, hey, I'm going to buy a bigger house. I need two more bedrooms. I don't want to remodel. I don't want to do this. I want to move on the other side of town. I want to move out of state. Do your research before you put it up on the market of where you're going and can you afford it? Taxes, interest rates, all of that can really mess with what things cost. And so pay attention to those numbers before you go put it on for sale. Because I tell you what, I didn't want to sell my house here because I'm at a 3% interest rate or less. I know now I'm going to be in the 6%. So I'm throwing away a lot of money there when I do it. So I have to be careful of that. And I have to take that into account coming in. Are we going to see 3% interest rates, 4% interest rates anytime soon? Probably not 2 years out. We'd have to have a huge crash in the economy to get that low again. Now, will there be things out there that they might do? Could they give us new tax credits? There's been a lot floating around out there, just like with people buying new Made in America cars. They're talking about giving you a tax credit for that. If that car is made in the U.S. and you're getting a tax credit for that, could be an awesome deal. So now people start looking and go, hey, where's that car made? Is enough of it made to get that tax credit? So there's a lot of promises out there. It's politics. So we'll see actually what comes to fruition. But that could be something cool to help reduce the price of things. Now, I'd like to see us get building materials back in line. So when we're seeing these projects going and government regulation, I'm tired of it costing here in my area because of bad habits of government spending $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 to get the permits to build a house with all the site development fees and all that junk. So if we can get that stuff under control, if we can let loose on some of these urban growth boundaries that we have in our area out here and let people build a little bit more outside of that so we can get some more inventory up, we'll see some lower house prices out there. But we're going to have to make some big changes to let that happen. But for you selling a house, secret here is just to recap. Make sure you get that thing spick and span, clean, perfect. Have somebody come over that you trust, but they smell the things. If you've got cats, your nose becomes numb at some point. You want somebody to walk in and go, I don't smell a single pet. I don't smell mold. I don't smell dirt. I don't smell filth. Make sure that those things are taken care of. Have the independent eye because many times you miss that. And that way you'll be good to go. And that way you can get the most out of your home so you can take it to the next house wherever you're looking at. Hey, if you got any questions of me, send them over to aroundthehouseonline.com. Head over there. You can message me there. I will message you back and get back a hold of you and make sure that question gets answered. I'm Eric G. To find out more, head to aroundthehouseonline.com. We'll see you next week. If you're a podcast listener, we'll catch you on the midweek special. If not, I'll see you right here at the same channel on the radio or the podcast. Thanks for tuning in to Around the House. We'll see you soon.
To find out more information, head to aroundthehouseonline.com. Make sure and subscribe to our social media channels and our YouTube channel for the national radio show and podcast, plus our television show, Around the House Northwest. You've been listening to the Around the House show.
Life is a love song. Let's be lovers. We're all over the radio. Take my hand. I know where to go. All over the radio.
Hey, I'm producer Jim from Around the House with Eric G. I work with Eric every day, so trust me when I say he's got the best home improvement tips on YouTube. He'll teach you how to fix your house, save money, and avoid those oops moments, like the time he almost glued himself to a countertop. Seriously, if you own a home or just like watching a guy who might set off the smoke detector, you need to subscribe to at Around the House Eric G. Because if Eric's not helping you, I guarantee he's breaking something, and you don't want to miss that. You won't be disappointed.